Naomi mentioned about wanting to rewrite the family script, I felt that it's such a strong core team within her, and as a husband, I do want to provide that support for her to fulfill that vision of hers.
Welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm June and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you'll keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow stronger, closer, and deeper in your marriage. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. When we talk about fertility rates, the conversation often starts and ends with numbers. A declining TFR, fewer babies, alarming charts and projections. But behind every data point is a deeply personal story. Couples weighing hopes against realities. Parents navigating love, exhaustion, finances, identity and expectations. Our guests today are both parents of a young toddler. Their names are Ethan and Naomi Lim. Ethan is in the real estate industry, and Naomi is a mental health counselor and co-founder of Kindred Haven. We'll explore what shaped their journeys into parenthood, what it's been like so far, and how that experience affects the way they think about having more kids. Welcome to the Connect2 podcast, Ethan and Naomi.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yes, would you like to briefly introduce yourselves, like how long you've been married?
Hi, I'm Ethan. We've been married for 8 years now, and our little girl is just slightly shy of 2.5 years. Myself, I'm working in the real estate industry. I've been self-employed for about 2+ years now. I'm still getting used to being self-employed because a large part of my previous career, I was doing design. So very different environment. So what happened was my employment with my previous firm couldn't continue because they had to shut down operations here. And that was when we also had our first kid. So we literally just gave birth to her before my last day at work. So, I mean, it's also a blessing in disguise because I really had the full downtime and focus that I can spend a lot of quality time with her and really, really precious moments and, you know, lots of personal connection time with her as well, which I wouldn't trade for anything else for that. So I think that's been a really enjoyable journey thus far. It does come with its challenges. Yeah, I can share more later on.
I'm Naomi, and although we've been married for 8 years, we know each other since JC days, so we know each other just half our lifetime, 18 years already. I think it was a pretty challenging time, yeah, now that he talked about having, you know, our first kid while he was going through unemployment and everything. That brings back quite a bit of memories during that season.
Interesting start to the podcast you got us off to. So I was just wondering, perhaps to ease us into the conversation, right? Before you became a parent, how did you imagine family life? And how much of that has changed since actually having your first child?
Actually, for me, I didn't have any high expectation, nor did I have a very huge desire to want to form a family nucleus with kids. I'm that partner who just goes along with the flow. And I think for me, having a family life, that desire to become a dad isn't really that strong. And because growing up, there were a lot of kind of subtle hints, be it peppered in our conversation through our relatives or my parents saying that, oh, you know, to raise kids is going to be like such a hassle. And then there's a lot of finances involved as well. And people do, even to a certain extent, they crack jokes like before we get married, they say, are you sure you want to get married? And all that. So, you know, society has the little undercurrents like that, which kind of makes you think a little bit like, oh, it's family life, something that I really want. So stepping into marriage, stepping into having our own matrimonial home and our own family nucleus is something that I'm not stepping into it in a very excited state of mind. So that was how I was. And also my parents are quite aged, and then both my brothers, they are quite a big age gap from me. So I didn't really have like very close siblingship as well in terms of life stages lah. So in that sense, I didn't have a very strong vision of how my own family life would look like. At the very best, it would be friends around my age which have already stepped into that season. And then even then, when we gather, you know, when we meet, they're always like busy, they look tired, not enough time to really connect. And questions when we meet is like, oh, how are things going? Do you have enough rest? And it's all about the stresses of society, your career. So yeah, to me, that vision wasn't a very colorful, positive one. But of course, when our daughter came around, then we got to experience for ourselves what it means to be really joyful. And it's really a very happy experience having to see how Naomi has put in so much effort to raise her up. It felt like even though we were dating for 8 years, which is quite long, finally
married for 8 years.
Married, I'm correct myself.
Yes. I'm sure you felt like you were dating. I'm sure.
It wasn't until when we had a family to call our own that we felt like, oh, we are really getting to know each other on a much deeper level.
But I think that's why we kind of also started a family later, like I think about 28 years old that we started, because he was focusing on building his career and everything, and we started trying to conceive, and that took a long while. So just to give a bit of context, we went to see a doctor, tried to conceive, and then we were diagnosed with undiagnosed infertility, basically meaning we don't know what are the reasons behind why we can't conceive,
right,
because all the tests were actually quite okay. Mm. So we took a long while before we had Emma, and Emma is conceived through IVF lah. So now we are trying for our second kid lah.
Wow, yeah. Thanks for sharing your journey. There is this piece where there's a bit of a negativity. You mentioned the undercurrents, whether it's from your family or from friends who have already started their parenthood journey, right? Even when they are sharing with you, it doesn't feel like you're getting the full picture, because they probably have to leave early or whatnot, right?
Yes.
To settle their kid. Naomi, you mentioned the difficulty conceiving at the start. So there already seems to be, you know, some of these psychological hurdles as well as the physical hurdles, right, that may come along this journey of parenthood lah, that many of us may not actually be fully prepared for. At the same time, you also mentioned the joys. I guess it is so real, like parenthood is full of the joys, but it's also full of the difficulties and the challenges. Perhaps you can share with us, maybe starting with you, Naomi, what aspects of raising Emma right now feels most life-giving, and which aspect feels most draining?
Parenthood really allows for coexisting of different emotions, right? There's joy, there's delight, but there's also a lot of sometimes frustration and feeling overwhelmed. So with Emma, it's such a delight being able to see the world like through her eyes. It's the first time ever we see how a child's brain is developing, the speech patterns and whatever she's curious about. Now she's in a stage of like asking like 1,000 whys and like using the word but. So it's delightful to just see her explore the world. And one thing that I really enjoy is being able to slow down and enjoy her presence and being able to be very emotionally present when I'm around her, because she wants me to be that way. Well, on the flip side then, it's like there are parts of me that really miss the times where I have alone time to myself, just being able to do things like by myself without her being around, because your world kind of revolves around this life, right? Because she's dependent on you, she's looking to you, you're everything to her. And I think for her, she really does cling on to me a lot more than my husband or like my helper. And so it's being able to separate myself from her and being able to still protect my own quiet time. I think that's been difficult.
So it sounds like there is that part of you that craves for that space for yourself. Right, because you're in the stage where, you have a 2-year-old, right? And who is so curious about the world. And obviously when she sees you, she wants all of you.
Like when she's in school, I will miss her. Then when she's back home, I'll be like, I really want time to do my own work. Or like have my shower without her banging on the door. Or like have my own toilet time without her hanging around. So there is always that pull and push, right? Like, oh, I really love her. But at the same time, I would like time for us as a couple and also by myself.
How about Daddy Ethan?
I have very similar struggles, and I think being self-employed, it helps with the flexibility. But I also wanted to bring out the part about, you know, how it's so exhausting, but that isn't the whole overarching theme of it all, because even though you're stretched out and your work demands your attention, the fact is that when she knocks at the door and she wants your attention, you do know that it's a very huge emotion going through in a little girl's world. Everything is new. Every small little thing can cause a meltdown. So as much as there's this struggle, there's a great desire to want to actually spend time with her and give her that attention. So I'm really more than happy to just put down my work and just give her the attention that she needs. And I think Naomi being in the mental health field, it also given me insights about how a child's emotional regulation is like. And it stretched my capacity to be able to afford that empathy and that understanding towards her. In that regard, I think it's really a very bittersweet season for us, which I really think that we will also miss this period, as tiring as some of those seasons may feel.
Thanks for capturing it so well and so fully, right? While it can be indeed challenging and draining on one's energy and one's capacity, right, to deal with a young toddler and all the surrounding demands, I'm also hearing that it's a season where both of you are stretched beyond pushing you to grow in new ways. Some of the understanding that comes from the mental health as well as the developmental aspects of a young child. So earlier you mentioned that you are actually in the process of trying for your second child. I wonder what gave you the courage amidst all of these challenges that we have talked about.
I think we had a very lengthy discussion process of thinking about, do we want another child, right? Even before having Emma, to me, becoming a mother was really important. So when the infertility news hit, right, it was really a period of grieving. And before Emma came about, we also had one miscarriage. So that was like even more impactful, right? And I had to grapple with this whole messaging that perhaps I can't have my own child to parent, right? Why becoming a mother is so important is because I grew up in a family that contains a lot of complexity, and I really wanted to be able to rewrite some of these family scripts for my own family. So I wanted us to be able to build a family in that way. I guess having children or having more than one child has always been something that is very desirable for me. I come from a family of just two, and I always kind of get inspired by big families, right? Kampongs, you know, like, wow, aunts and uncles are cousins to play with, which I didn't have that. So I often felt like, oh my, it's just my brother and I. And if I don't have him, then oh my, like I don't have an extension of kinship in some ways. That's why for me, I really love to have more children. But Ethan can share because I think he's on the other side of the fence. Yeah, altogether.
Not entirely on the other side, as in like not wanting to have kids. Of course, there are certain seasons whereby, you know, when tensions escalate, when we get to an argument, and then there will be thoughts of like, wow, I can't even handle this, then what more, you know, we have one more kid. But I think the whole part about understanding each other as we step into parenthood, I think we've reached a deeper level of understanding where our past traumas or hurts come from. And some of the desires, like what Naomi mentioned about wanting to rewrite the family script, I felt that it's such a strong core team within her. And as a husband, I do want to provide that support for her to fulfill that vision of hers. So the very same way how perhaps husbands or, you know, some partners would hope that their spouse would help to support them in their unfulfilled dreams, right? So that's one part of it. And of course, we do have many fabulous friends who have managed to brought up kids in a very successful way, and to us they are like our role models. And without them, I don't think our vision of what an ideal family or a parent might look like, you know, at least a better version of ourselves. So I think that really motivated us as well to be able to be more aligned. We wanted to be closer in that sense and work towards a common goal. So for me, I'm not as motivated to say that, oh, I must have a second kid. In fact, I'm happy with just Emma around. But I'm willing and happy to be part of this journey with Naomi. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing all of that, and especially with your loss regarding your first miscarriage, and for persevering through that. And it's great, right, that you have Emma right now and that you're working towards this vision of the ideal family that you have. And also, Ethan, you mentioned about how it's important as spouses just to come alongside each other, in a sense, achieving that dream or vision that person has and owning it together as a family, not just saying that, I'm here to fulfill your dream, but what about mine, right? So it's about coming together to negotiate that as one family unit. And I'm also hearing the importance that mentors or older couples may play, the sense of community, perhaps giving you that inspiration and hope, right, that this is possible and we can always call for help if anything, and there are people to sort of rely on in this journey.
I think as Christians, because we are really thankful to have quite a number of mentors in our lives, right? Like couple mentors, those that we really could give a call to reach out and ask for prayers or ask for help, even in our marriage as well, right? So that journeying together help us to also see that, wow, you know, that is how a family looks like, or how we want to be able to persevere to bring up Emma, right? Or have kids, right? How do we actually be responsible in that way to provide? But there's definitely a lot of just negotiating and also figuring out what matter most for both of us. Financially, there's a real constraint, right? When it comes to whether you have one kid or more kids, right?
Definitely finances and other practical things are also part of the consideration, right? In terms of having any children, one child or two kids.
Yeah.
And that's probably one thing we will explore a little bit more in our next episode as well. In each podcast, we actually address a frequently asked question that couples may have about marriage. So today's question comes from a wife, and she says, "We recently got married and I realized that my husband wants a child more than I do. I prefer to let things take its natural course and to focus on career first. How do we navigate this tricky situation?" It's a little bit like your story, but in reverse gender, right?
These struggles may be something that it's an ongoing pendulum and an ongoing state that you'll come back to. There may be a season where you feel like, oh, I feel a little bit more understanding where you came from, I could provide for that, I can change my mindset. Then there will be times whereby you swing back to your own preferences. How do we navigate that? I think for me, it's being aware of how our environment and society has shaped us, our values. In fact, being in such a performing culture, you know, in Singapore, in an environment like this, in an Asian mindset, we are often very mindful about our resources. That comes from our parents' generation, whereby they worked really hard to bring food on the table. But increasingly, you know, when you see younger generations, they do have the luxury to explore certain hobbies, even in their career, in their studies as well. And if you look at the generation after us, they really prioritize what it means to enjoy life, the quality of life. And sometimes when we look at career, we are really locked into the mindset that we have cultivated to be, or rather, our environment has cultivated us to be very focused about building our resources so that we have enough for the future, so that we have a stable foundation. But increasingly, I think I can't speak for all couples, but for us, for me, going into a self-employed situation, Naomi was also thinking of, you know, cutting back on her work in terms of work days. I've come to a realization that some of these values are for my own to own and for my own to forge. And it does not need to come from an external source of influence, which I have for the past, you know, 20, 30 years. Yeah, so it's really up to you to sense make with your spouse what makes the most sense and what has the greatest degree of alignment towards where you agree with them, how we have been brought up versus where you want to be. So if it's something that it's difficult to talk about often, there's a mismatch of some expectations and some desires, and probably there isn't a safe space to facilitate that conversation, to dig deep and to recalibrate and align with your spouse. That's how I see it.
The importance of being aware of where some of our beliefs and values may have come from. And that's the first step. and then making that safe space between the two of them?
Yeah, sometimes we don't really create the safe space by the two of us. Like, we do actually go for like couple counseling, you know, we talk about things because things really get very heated up because we have differing views about travels, holidays, you know. On social media, you see everybody traveling, and my husband is the kind that doesn't need to get out of Singapore. Yeah, he's very satisfied with being here. So just topics that differing, I think like what he says, sometimes the safe space needs to be created to help with alignment.
Sometimes these safe space are not intentionally created. I recall in our first year after Emma came around, we had a lot of tension points. We had to process it with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So when we invited friends over, it was kind of like an indirect way to process those feelings because we're not directly talking to each other. And, you know, every response or rebuttal is very intense. So having some friends who, especially those who have went through the journey, I think that gave us a little bit of
normalization
of the things that we are experiencing.
Thanks for sharing those tips. And thank you both for actually sharing so authentically from your own experience about parenthood and the journey to parenthood even, and the journey after, right? So before you go, do you have any last thoughts or words of encouragement for our listeners?
I think life is full of really ups and downs, and parenthood is like that. One day could really be very delightful, or one moment could be that way, and the next moment you're dealing with a meltdown. So I think it's seeing the whole picture, stepping back and realizing how it has shaped you so beautifully, stretched you, created more space and capacity. With Emma around, the two of us had to get on the same page for a lot of things, and that created conversations about what do we want, not just for her, but for each of us. So I would say step in and step in boldly and get all the help you can and reach out and have conversations, you know, when you struggle as well. And watch how you are also transforming as a parent, even as your child transforms.
I have two things to share. One is the concept of trying to hold on to some things in your life very tightly. So imagine trying to hold on whatever it is on your palm. So the tighter you grip, the tighter you hold on, actually, the more you lose some things because things may fall out, right? So I think having a kid really forces us to go along with the flow sometimes and to be able to live in a moment as opposed to, you know, giving your past hurts, your trauma, you know, where you came from, how your background has been, or sometimes even living in the future too much by worrying about what's to come. But you know, by thinking of these two extremes, we forgot to live in the moment. And the second part would be, as we journey through looking at how we are very happy and satisfied with, you know, the things that Emma is picking up, how she's becoming to be. She's really a sponge and she's become like a combination of both of us. And it's so amazing because she's that innocent version and she's that wide-eyed. The world is so fascinating to her. And even for an uninteresting object that we see on the table, the fact that she can respond to it in such a funny way, it just adds a lot of joy and laughter and to our lives. And that really reminds me of how much of a partnership between me and Naomi is so core and so important for living in that present. Because without this partnership, I don't think Emma would be the way she is today. And it's important because when we're in the same team and we have time to process some of these feelings, these complex emotions and even tensions, it's important to also see that these tensions are opportunity for us to grow. Personally, iron sharpens iron, right? So yeah, I think that is the current paradigm shift that I'm experiencing right now as Emma is stepping into a 2.5 years old. I'm sure there's more to come in, you know, the next couple of months. So it's a very exciting period of growth for us personally as adults too.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it really captures the beauty of being in this together. Can really see the teamwork, how you both encourage each other, draw strength from each other, and also enjoy this beautiful moment by moment parenting journey, right, with Emma and seeing the world through her eyes. So thank you so much for being here and for sharing your journey with us.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. So in each podcast, we actually end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with each other. So if you're listening to this with your spouse, for this week, find a quiet environment, put away all distractions and spend 5 to 10 minutes sharing with each other. And the prompt is, what are your thoughts on having kids? Or if you already have kids, more kids. Okay, so we hope you have enjoyed today's episode. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it as well. Do remember to tune in to our next episode where Ethan and Naomi zoom out from their personal story to share insights on what might be holding couples back from having kids today. Thank you for tuning in, and remember to connect with your spouse today.